Good morning. Let us pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your invitation to come to your sanctuary in the midst of the community that you have given to us as family, to worship you and to honor you and to learn more about you and your words. I pray, God, that your spirit will be upon us as we listen to your word. I pray that we may actually help us to live out our lives for you, God. And I pray that it may bring forth the power to resist the temptations that we live in, that we have in this world. And at the same time, it will give us power to live for you. I pray that you will be with me as I share this message this morning. Father, please bless all of us as we receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, 1 week removed from the spring camp, I hope you had a great time in our retreat, building relationship with other people. I particularly enjoy the small group meetings where we're able to share about many different things, and I feel like I got to know some people better than I had beforehand. And certainly one of the most important times, I feel, was the time when we learned our lessons through the scripture. I am in complete agreement with James when he mentioned that one of the most important jobs of a preacher is to let the scripture be known. And it was interesting that one of the lessons that he talked about came from the chapter that we're currently studying, from chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, verses 12 to 30. And if you recall his teaching, essentially what he said was that the scripture taught that you and I, individuals, are we are coming together to form the body as parts of the body, and we have each our own functions. Some of us, according to scripture, is hand or foot or eye or ear. And when you listen to this analogy, which is sandwiched between the introduction of the manifestation gifts and then another set of gifts toward the end of the chapter, it is important, extremely important, for the overall health of the body that each one of us who are parts of the body function properly and normally. And through each part's proper participation, the whole body functions flawlessly, and when they do not, the whole body stumbles. If you think about that for a moment, how important are the spiritual gifts? Yet, because of our denominational insistence, not ours, but in other instances, or preference of some teachers, many of us may not have been taught about the subject, and even if it did, it may have been minimal in passing, and we might not have been able to fully grasp and understand how it is to be utilized. My prayer is that throughout these lessons that we will have through 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 14, we'll be able to fully grasp and understand how it is to be utilized. My prayer is that God will really speak to you during this time and motivate you to be serious in seeking out how you can use your spiritual gift to build our church together. Before I go into the scripture this morning, I want to talk about the importance of spiritual gifts and how during the time and in this great scheme of God's design, this spiritual gift that God was going to give to the people of the church is going to be something that is going to distinguish the community of God from the rest of the society. Now, I want you to imagine a congregation where you have people from diverse ethnic groups and socioeconomic groups coming together to form a church through which they were going to let Christ be known. it was going to be a huge challenge. For example, if you had an influential person, educated person, wealthy person, surely in a normal set of circumstances in the society, they are going to be the ones who will be called upon to lead. And as for the slaves and the women and the old people and those who are uneducated, their place in the society would have been people who will follow and do what they're told. That will be the reality in a society. However, when you look at the church, that is not. And that's what distinguished it. If you look at this chapter in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 to 18, the promise that God made was that he was going to pour out his spirit upon all people. And he sets out different people, groups, but it was going to be upon all of them. Even if you're a slave, even if you're a man, even if you're a woman, even if you're uneducated, he was going to pour his spirit upon all of them so that they could be useful, so that they could be functioning within the body. That would have been different from the society. And clearly, it would have been distinguishable. If you look at Peter and James, for example, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12 to 14, think about this. These are the guys. They were just average Joes, fishermen. Probably not the greatest trade that people looked up to. But look how they were utilized once they were filled with the Holy Spirit. When people saw boldness of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and recognized that they had been with Jesus. And so in a grand scheme of things, church was not going to be people driven. Instead, and no one was going to be able to boast or simply rely on themselves in the church. But instead, it was going to be spirit driven. And God was going to bestow his spiritual gifts to his believers, each one just as he determines. And everyone who belonged to Christ was going to be important in building the church. Like God said through Paul, he was going to use the foolish and the weak to humble or shame the wise and the strong. That was how it's going to be. And this is one of the reasons why spiritual gifts are extremely important. And second reason, what made church so unique was because church was going to be a place where God was going to gift not only people such as yourselves, but he was going to gift the gifts as well. And once again, if it functioned properly, healthily, it would be a place where God would be visibly seen, felt and experienced because of the activity of the spiritual gifts working through God's people. I remember attending a church for the first time, and as I told you, my first church was Pentecostal church, where they do simply emphasize the importance of the spiritual gifts. And I had experienced all these gifted people who had helped me in my spiritual journey in a variety of ways. The people who had clarified the things about God for me through their teaching gift. The people who had encouraging gift had encouraged me to make me feel loved and wanted. And at times of desperate need, there will be people who are merciful and generous who would come to my aid. You know, I had begun my university studies at the age of 28. And there's a reason why I actually decided to actually go to school at that late stage of my life. I was approached by an elder couple, husband and wife, who had come to me and told me this. They said, God has spoken to me to support you for you to go to school. And at that time, I felt like I was doing well. I was already in church. I was already serving. And it didn't make sense. But because of what they said, I thought about it. And finally, I said, you know, maybe God is telling me through these people that I need to be going to school. And I did. And for 4 years, they supported me through private university education. And I think that did a wonderful job of building my foundation, which I didn't know at the time I needed. There was another incident when I first came in, I was really hard-hearted, and I was skeptical about everything in the church. There was this couple of sisters that came over to me at each of the service. We had a young adults group meeting, and the format was very much like worship and preaching and then praying together for 30 minutes. And it was during this time when I came, and I was just doubtful. I was skeptical about everything. I did not have a very good feelings toward the Christian people at the time. And there was this young ladies that just came to me, and they just prayed for me in tears. And at first I thought they liked me, but then I realized they were really too old for me, so they wouldn't like me, and they wouldn't have this personal feelings toward me. And then I realized, and I thought, and I thought, and I thought, and I came to realize that they really did care for me. And there was something that I've never experienced before, for no reason. There was nothing I could give unto them. But yet, here they were. It was this gift that just flowed through me. And this is a way that I have come to know Jesus Christ. This is a way that I had opened my heart to Jesus Christ. It was a wonderful and amazing place. Of course, it had this negative side as well. You know, the political situations and the disputes and fights over different issues that existed. But certainly when the church and the people were working together and they were exercising their gifts freely, it was an amazing place to behold. And to be honest, and this is how I feel, when everyone is engaged in such gifts, it is a dynamic place, incomparable to anything else that the world that they could show you. Unfortunately, the problem may be many Christians do not, or maybe cannot because they don't know, manifest their distinctive gifts in the life of the local church. And as a result, often the church is seen as lacking credibility as the community of the Holy Spirit. And the rich variety of the Christian community is hidden, and its corporate life appears to the outsiders as dull and traditional instead of diverse and colorful. So God gives spiritual gifts, and we are to know what they are and use them to help the church become whole, to be healthy, to let Jesus be known through us. Now, I know that I went through this a couple of weeks ago, but I want to clarify once again what gifts Holy Spirit give to us. And the important thing is for us to not get confused about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned this last time. Ephesians chapter 1:13, gift of the Holy Spirit. God gives us salvation through the Holy Spirit. No one can say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1:13 would say, and you're also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Okay? So one of the things that we mentioned last time. Second thing is through the Holy Spirit, which is different from the gift of the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, I had mentioned last week, in my own personal understanding of what it is a infused character of Jesus Christ. And it is within us. And it brings us to a Christ-like character. You know that throughout the Bible, it teaches the importance of character. But the uniqueness about this is that it requires training and discipline. Christ-like virtues. And the reason why it's so important is because Christ-like virtues, the character that you have, brings credibility to what you do. Now, one of the reasons why I mention this is because, as I said before, in my Pentecostal background, there was this lack of character because there was so much emphasis on one thing. There was almost a disregard for another. There was so much hope for instantaneous, spontaneous transformation. There was lack and disregard for long-time sanctification. You see, it's important to bring credibility to you, for you to have a character. Because what you do and how you conduct yourself with others will bring credibility to you. And so, now I want to get into the spiritual gifts. And so, where do we begin? And here's the thing. There are 20 non-overlapping gifts that are explicitly mentioned. And there may be other gifts that are actually demonstrated in the scripture. And I have listed them on a PowerPoint here. The question that I had was, how do we make sense of what we have and how do we utilize it? You see, because I have this struggle that I have done numerous spiritual gift inventories, okay? And I kind of know what they are, although some of them will change over time. I know what they are. But I have hard time putting them together. There's this bunch of variety of spiritual gifts, and I'm supposed to figure out how I'm going to work with each one of these things. And so I wanted to know how I can make sense. Is there a structure to this? And I have done a lot of studies to learn, and I read different writings about the spiritual gifts so that it can make sense for me. I read commentaries. I read teachings. And I finally came to what I'm about to share with you today. First thing I discovered as I was studying these passages, I think that when you look at these passages here, these are the places where the spiritual gifts are described. I saw Paul or Peter trying to categorize each of these spiritual gifts into certain sections. Okay? If you notice, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 6, there are different kind of gifts. There are different kind of service. There are different kind of working or manifestation. In 1 Peter, Peter writes that after naming the different spiritual gifts, he would say some of them are speaking gifts and some of them are serving gifts. Once again, trying to categorize the gifts, right? And so I looked and I came across this idea that, yes, we should look at the spiritual gifts and order them into certain categories. And the way it's done is this way. First, I'm gonna cover the first part today extensively. And basically, the gifts should be categorized in three ways. First part is a motivational gift. And I explain this to you in more detail. And the second part is a service gift. It's how you do ministry. It's different offices, the pastors and preachers, evangelists, and all these other things. And then the working gifts. As you are involved and engaged in serving, Spirit is going to manifest itself in a variety of ways. And so I kind of looked at it. And so this is what I came up with here. So, motivation. Romans chapter 12 is where we begin. And I'm going to explain these things to you. And this is where I'm going to be focusing today. But there are seven gifts. This is a motivation gifts, and how do I explain this? It is a gift. These are the gifts that tells us how we see the world and what shapes our perspective on life and what motivates our words and our actions. This is how we are made, built. This is who we are. We can't change this. And the ministry gift is written there. This is different kind of offices and places where we would actually find serve to serve. And then finally, the last part is a manifestation gifts. Okay? Now, the reason why we start with Romans chapter 12 rather than 1 Corinthians where we are right now is because Romans chapter 12 starts with this idea that if you would to go to Romans chapter 12 with me, please, for a few minutes. So let me read this. Let's read this together from verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. He goes on to say, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Verse 3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. And it goes on to say, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And then it goes on to say, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. The passage essentially is talking about how our renewed mind is capable of discerning and approving God's will. And this renewed mind, through this renewed mind, we also must be active in evaluating ourselves, our identity, and our gifts. That's what this passage is telling us. It's because we need to know who we are to have an accurate and balanced and above all, self-image. The renewed mind is a humble mind like Jesus Christ. And so gifts that are listed below that passage are supposed to provide for us to figure out who we are. And as we figure out who we are warned not to think of ourselves highly, but with a sober judgment, clearly understanding who we are in self-image. And so the motivational gifts are gifts that tell us how we see the world, what shapes our perspective on life, and motivates our words and our action. And as I am studying this, I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking that these gifts were something that each one of us were created with, but couldn't be seen clearly due to our sinful nature. But by experiencing spiritual life and through regeneration and through renewal of mind, we are able to see ourselves more clearly. Motivational gift is comparable to the set of eyeglasses from God that is given to us as a believer. And through these eyeglasses, we're able to see people and circumstances. Okay? So, before we go into Romans chapter 12, and there are seven gifts as you see here, and I have written down different definitions by different teachers. And what I would like for you to do right now is I would like to ask you to reflect on these questions and ask yourself these questions, okay? And then we're going to go into this definition of these seven gifts, and we're going to try to identify what our gifts are. Okay, or what our gift is. Here are the questions. So what is a topic or situation that could keep you talking late into the night? What would you most like to do for others? Have an effect on or do something about? What is it that breaks the heart of God and also breaks your heart? What is the pain you want to heal or the injustice that you see? The people I would like to help most are. Okay? And here are the seven gifts. Prophet. This is a definition given to me, or I read this definition. It was written by forgot the name. But he is a president of Emory University. He was also president of Regent College some time ago. I believe it's Gordon Smith. Yes, it came to me. And this is how he defined prophet. This is a person that sees the profound need for people to live in the truth they already know and respond to the world with a passion that people would live consistent with their own confession, convictions, and values. Prophets call us to behavior congruent with our words. All of us believe this is important, but prophets see this as the most critical need of all. Another definition given, a perceiver is same as prophet, but he, in this instance, this author emphasized the importance that a person can only know when their mind is renewed through Jesus Christ, okay? And he goes on to say something like this. A prophet is someone who edifies by revealing God's truth in specific areas or situations by interpreting the scripture and thereby revealing God's heart in ways that will help others. This is different from the Ephesians chapter 4 office of a prophet. This is a person that perceives the real truth, but on a smaller scale. And continue on. Perceivers always move in their gifts, seeing things in people or situations and explaining God's truth in those areas. This person exalts truth versus a sin. This person's vulnerability is that he can become judgmental instead of prayerful. This person appears to be direct, blunt, or inconsiderate of the feelings of others when he shares. But is very introspective, tends to have intense emotions. These are the people that cares about justice, integrity, and righteousness. Could this be you? The gift of teacher. I'm just going to go to the highlight part of you. If you can read it, please, that would be very helpful. But I think the key thing about teacher is that this person has a conviction that the main problem in the world is that people lack understanding. If they could just understand, they would know and live the truth. Another definition given is that this is the kind of person that expounds on truth, taking difficult concepts and making them easy to understand, uses sound, rational, instructive reasoning to convince and help others to learn, consummate debaters, this is the way they help others to learn, can appear argumentative, tend to be self-motivating and self-starting with the ability to synthesize ideas resulting in a constant flow of mental information. These people, routine tasks bore them. A teacher needs intellectual stimulation. They do not take anything at face value. They research it first, concerned with truth. Can overanalyze an issue and needs to let it go sometimes. Can struggle with intellectual pride. Could this be you? Encouragement. This is a person who has a deep felt conviction that encouragement is fundamental to the world experiencing peace, justice, and transformation. You can read other things here. But the way this person comes across and builds up the body of Christ is by through bringing out the best in other people. This is a person that sees others fulfill their God-given potential. This person encourages others, but also prescribes practical advice, brings new life to people who have lost their determination and feels burnt out. Is this you? The negative side of this person is this person can be easily offended when people are not considerate or encouraging toward them. This person can be over-talkative. This person is always tend to be sought out for advice with relational problems. Many friends. I want you to process this and think about whether this is you. And I think at the end of the day, it would be very, very helpful if you can confirm it with other people that knows you very well and see if that they see that in you. And I want to give you an illustration of how this works. I will finish with that. But here's a servant. This is a person that really is all about working. There's too much talk this person feels and not enough actions. And this person seems extremely sensitive to the needs that needs to be done. Again, another definition would say, this person has efficiency, keeping things moving. This person quickly recognizes and needs assist in meeting those needs. This person has an ability to look ahead and see or plan what will be needed. Natural event planners. Keeps people on task to be sure needs are met. Identifies strongly with what they do to help others. If help is rejected, they may feel rejected. And this kind of hits home a little bit, because I think to a certain extent this is me. Keep people on task, but can be task-driven versus spirit-led, can become easily irritated if they feel others aren't doing their share. They have been taught to be in support roles and may easily acquiesce to a co-leader to avoid conflict. Is this you? Giver. This is a person that contributes to the needs of others. They recognize that, and obviously you can see it. And let me give you another definition. This is a person that imparts resources, charitably contributing to the less fortunate, has a charitable, generous, hospitable attitude, also donates personal income and time. Givers are fulfilled knowing what they gave brought joy or aid to another, whether the recipient knows the source or not. Tends to have more patience when patience and generosity of others has run out. The giver continues to be gracious, hence works well with problem people. Tends to be frugal, industrious, independent nature. Depending on a secondary gift, the giver may have trouble setting boundaries or seeking God in where to give. Now, I want to share with you someone that I know, and more so than anybody else that I've known in my life. And obviously that's my wife. And so this is the story of a giver. This is how I identify the giver. Is my wife here? Oh, honey, you can go now. Sorry. Okay, so this is how the giver works, okay? So soon after, all right. Now soon after we got married, we received a letter from my missionary friend in Nicaragua who sought help in finishing up building the church. Now he had built the church from ground up with only roof remaining, and because of impending monsoon season, he was desperate to finish up the roof, but he didn't have money. And if he didn't raise the roof in time, the monsoon season will come and it will ruin everything that he has already built. And so he was desperate and he asked me to raise $3,000, because that's how much it will be needed to build the roof. And he asked me to talk to my church so that we can raise some funds for him. Now, when I received this message, my gifting tells me, yes, let's give, but $300, right? And so I talked to my wife and said, honey, I got this letter from my friend, and I think he's desperate, so I'm thinking about giving $300. I'm sorry, but $100 would not be enough. I think we should give $300, and we should try to raise the rest of the money from other people. My wife turns around and says to me, how much money do we have? And I said, $3,000, save for our honeymoon, because we didn't go to honeymoon. And then she said, let's give that money. I want you to think about that for a moment. I was kind of shocked. And I'm thinking like, oh my God, this is a person that I'm going to be married to. and I'll have to live this way for the rest of my life. We're not going to have anything for ourselves. Right? And so, no, I'm like, I was shocked. But at the same time, I was pleasantly surprised that this is someone else other than myself. I know what my giftings, or I think I know what my giftings are. But here's something that I've never seen before. Someone who just doesn't really care. Like, she wants to give. That's what's important for her. And so we had this conversation about a child. And one day I asked, what is the thing that you remember the most about your childhood? Fun memories. And she mentioned that the fun memories that she has is a time when she was in an early school, like in a grade school. She was relatively well off, and her mom would always give her money. And she remembered just spending this money on the kids who didn't bring lunch at school. She would bring home, she said, a beggar from the street, and bring them to the house and open refrigerators and giving it to them. That was the fun memory that she could remember. I've never done that. And then as we are kind of talking about the future, and I'm having this conversation about what is the ideal situation for us in the future. And then we kind of both mutually agreed that I hope that there will be an occasion for us to go on the mission field and serve God to the needy people. And this is what she said. So I asked her, so if you were to go to this mission field, how do you plan on serving these people? You know, and she said, I want to teach trades to the poor girls so that they can make a living. I mean, we're talking about past, we're talking about present, we're talking about future. It's consistent throughout. And she probably was not a believer when she was young, but the trait remained throughout. Now the difference is she's woken up. Now her mind has been renewed. She has been introduced to Christ. And her mind has regenerated. Now it's about things of God. But still, that trait has maintained itself throughout her life. You know, past 2 years, she's had the most difficult time staying home and raising the children. And every time I see her, I'm trying to solve this problem. I'm telling her, you know, what's wrong with you? This is God's work. We got to take pride in God's work. Right? And I'm saying all these things, and then I came to realize it's extremely difficult for her. And this happened after I find out what her gifting is, because I went through this gifting and I try to, you know, see her within this gift. And the reason why it is so challenging for her to be idle, to stay home and not do anything, is because she doesn't have resources to give. That's what she does. Now, I want to share with you about something that happened during this retreat. And this has to do with me. Again, people that I know very well and wouldn't mind offending. One of the sessions James had mentioned something about his friend giving up engineering job in order to pursue God's call. Do you remember that one? And we came back into a small group. And one of the person graciously, I think it was, I can't remember his name again, forget the names. Tony. No, it's not Tony. Tony was not at the group. What was his name? Danny. Danny was his name. Okay, so anyways, I'm sorry. But Danny kind of mentioned that when he said his friend giving up whatever, I thought about you giving up your lawyer job or whatever. And that, I was just thinking about it, and I thought to myself, no, actually, there was no giving up on my part at all. It was a relief. See, I have to be honest. When I went to study law, I dreamed of becoming a defense lawyer because I saw true meaning of life being fulfilled in helping troubled youth find hope. That's my call, right? But when I finally went to work, when I finally engaged in work, I found out that the legal business is more of a business than interaction, right? There was hardly any chance of me engaging in relationship building with any of these clients, okay? So in the end, the reward that I will receive through my work would be getting results, okay? And then receiving a financial compensation, both of which really were not important to my core of my being. Now, to leave that and to come back into the ministry where I'm doing exactly what I am supposed to be doing as who I am, obviously there's nothing that's given up. It was just relief. God, thank you. I'm back to where I'm supposed to be. You see how important these things are. And think about many of you who are studying in university right now. You, if you identify who you are in these gifts, if you know who you are, if you know what drives you, you can actually pursue a career that aligns with the core of your being. And you have an opportunity to enjoy every minute of what you do. Not only are you enjoying what you do, but you are clearly consistent with what God had called you to be and do with your life. This is the motivation to give. This is what you are in your core being. This is how you know what you're supposed to do. Now, there may be some caveats to this, and that would be something like this. What if you have more than one or two or three gifts that you can identify with? That could be true. That could be true. But this is what the author said. He says, you may act as you become more mature, as you become more mature in Christ. Once again, renewed of mind is important to awaken your gift. And you may act in ways commonly associated with other motivational gifts besides what you have. But this does not mean, according to the author, that their motivation drive has changed. For example, if a teacher-motivated person demonstrates the characteristics of a mercy or giver, he is still motivated by desire to affirm the truth, even in his mercy-like or giver-like actions. His inner motivation has not changed. He is simply developing other God-honoring qualities. So when I think about myself, I think I see a little bit of prophet in me. I think it's extremely important, and this is my philosophy. I do care about outside people coming to the Lord and receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior and living a spiritual journey, right? I care about those things. But at the core of my being, what I care more than anything else is for believers to straighten up, to live the way that you're supposed to live. And if we truly do that, if all the small churches get together, and if they truly care about their believers being living the Word, living in the Word, then I think we can change the world. But that's not what drives me. But I have that tendency. I love studying. I love learning and studying, although I may not be as eloquent. I love studying. I love putting things out and say, this is what God says. And I enjoy that very, very much. But again, that's not the core of my being. You understand? I may have different things, but at the end of the day, if I don't have people, I cannot exist. I don't exist. There is no reward in my life. There is no satisfaction in my life. I need to come alongside people. I need to love. I need to comfort. I need to help. That's what I need to do. What about you? What is your gift? Even now is not too late, is it? Because after this gift is the office or the place of service. Now, if you are a people person and you need to engage with people and you need to serve them and love them and care for them, you need to encourage them because you need to give them hope, and that's what makes the world go around. If that's who you are, you shouldn't be engaged in AV. Because you're not dealing with people. Maybe you are, because there are three of you, right? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, You need to know what your gifting is and follow that route. And I'm going to talk about the service gifts and manifestation gifts in another time. But I just pray and hope that each one of you will, you know, at least assess yourself and understand. Talk to your husband. Talk to your wife. They know best. Talk to your friend. They know best what you're about. And ask them, I think I have this gift. What do you think? Okay? Just for the record, because we don't have time to go through all of it, I'm going to put this out on the PI email so that you can go through these PowerPoints and figure out what it is that you have, okay? But once again, yeah, I pray that you will take these things seriously because it is your health. Our health as a church depends on your health as an individual and knowing your place. Knowing exactly where you're supposed to be, and that will be helpful for the church as well. So let's pray together. I am sorry I ran over time today. It's 10:30 right now. I apologize. Okay, so let's pray. So Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the words that you give to us, and the opportunity to discover the truth through your scripture that always helps us to grow and mature as a believer. I pray that although I lacked eloquence and maybe even clarity this morning, I pray that your spirit will speak to each individuals here and have them feel the excitement that I felt when I was discovering these gifts and understanding what I was meant to be. I pray that each one of us will take our spiritual gifts very, very seriously. It is not something that is passed on in passing, but it is something that we need to really, really know and understand. And I pray that we will take that to heart. And this morning, Lord, as we continue to worship you, God, may you just inspire us with your spirit. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I just want to thank Charlie just for being so open with us about his stories and his experiences. It really helps us to understand the message. Let's just continue in worship. And as Charlie said, let's be inspired just by being here in the presence of family and in presence of God to worship with all our hearts, and let's arise. There's a cry in my heart for your glory to fall. For your presence to fill up my senses. There's a yearning again, a thirst for discipline, a hunger for things that are deeper. Could you take me beyond? Could you carry me through? If I open my heart, could I go there with you? For what do I have if I don't have you, Jesus? What in this life can mean anymore? You are my rock, you are my glory. You are the lifter above my head. It's from the top. There's a cry in my heart for your glory to fall, for your presence to fill up my senses. There's a yearning again
for just a plan. A hunger for things that are deeper. Could you take me beyond? Could you carry me through? If I open my heart, could I go there with you? For I've been here before, but I know there's still more. Oh Lord, I need to know you. For what do I have if I don't have you, Jesus? What in this life could mean anymore? You are my Lord. You are my glory. You are the lift, the road ahead. For what do I have if I don't have you, Jesus? What in this life can mean anymore? You are my love. You are my glory. You are the lift above my head. Lift above his head.
Sing perfect in love.
And perfect in love. And Lord, you came to earth, you rescued me. You took my place upon the cross. The stains that held me back were washed away. You made me whole. Your love has set the broken captives free. Your love released the chains once binding me. I'm found in grace, in love's embrace. My heart is overwhelmed.
I stand redeemed. I stand
redeemed. Your spirit now alive within my heart. I walk with you all of my days. And I shall live to glorify you, God. Hear my soul rejoice. Your love has set the broken captives free. Your love released the chains once binding me. I'm found in grace, in love's embrace. My heart is whole.
Sings my soul.
Sings my soul of how your love has set me free. Sings my heart of how your mercy rescued me. Hear my cry of endless love to my Savior and to my King. My heart is whole.
sings my soul.
Sing my soul of how your love has set me free. Sing my heart of how your mercy rescued me. Hear my cry of endless love to my Savior and to my King. My heart is overwhelmed.
Your love.
Your love has set the broken captives free. Your love released the chains once binding me. I'm found in grace, in love's embrace. My heart is overwhelmed.
We thank you, God, because you love us so much, and even though we're overwhelmed with so much that's going around and so many of the things that goes happens in our day to day, but you love us with this same love that was crucified on the cross and that was done 2,000 years ago. And you're calling us now. You're calling us to the cross. You're calling us to be yours. And you're calling us by your name.
You choose the humble and raise them high. You choose the weak and make them strong. You heal our brokenness inside and give us love. Same love that set the captives free. The same love that opened eyes to see is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. Same love that spread the heavens wide, the same love that was crucified is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name.
You take the faithless.
You take the faithless one aside and speak the words, you are mine. You call the cynic and the proud. Come to me now. The same love that set the captives free. The same love that opened eyes to the sea is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. The same God has brought the heavens wide. The same God that was crucified is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. The captives free. The sin that opened eyes to the tears smelling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. The same God that spread the heavens wide, the same God that was crucified, is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name.
You're calling.
You're calling. You're calling. You're calling us to the cross. You're calling, you're calling, you're calling us to the cross.
Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, worship team. Now is the time for offering. Just call the ushers forward. Let us all bow down our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your overwhelming love. Thank you for calling us to the cross, Lord, where we can experience you. I pray that as we give, Lord, just to give with a joyful heart, to give because you have given us so much, Lord, and that we as a church would be able to use everything that we offer to glorify you. And I pray this all in your name. Amen. Welcome once again, everyone. We're so glad you could join us today for service. If you open your bulletins up to the announcements, we have quite a few of important announcements today. First of all, if you came to camp as a day commuter, we would like you to fill up an evaluation form, and that would be available at the back. So if you were a day commuter and didn't get a chance to fill up the evaluation form, we would really like your feedback for next year. Secondly, we have for career and college group, tonight, we have a worship together session, and that's held at Pacific Grace MB, which is on East First Street in Vancouver. So that will start tonight at 7, and it will be a great time of worshiping together with a lot of different other church families as well. Can I ask Emily Huang Forward for talking about hiking this week?
Hello. So as you guys all know, we have a hike that's hosted by Care Ministry that's coming up this Saturday on June 4th, and we have rides still, so if you need a ride, we can totally set up for you. Just like talk to Karen or me, and we also have a Facebook page. All the information is on there, but the hike will start at 9:45, but if you're sky training or like transiting there, we're gonna be meeting at 8:50 at the Camping King Edward Station, and try to be on time, just because the next day there's the missions fundraising. So we want to like have the hike in the morning, which is going to be like around 2 hours. So if you need to prep anything, you'll have the whole afternoon to do so. It's going to be really fun. It's like seriously not that hard at all. So if you're like hiking challenge like me, I'm like a grandma at heart, you guys can like totally do it, because I'm going, so you guys should all come with me. It's going to be really fun. Yeah, just to like get to know each other better and do outdoorsy stuff. Yeah.
Thanks, Emily. So that was a good segue to our short-term mission fundraiser. So tickets, short-term mission fundraiser is next Sunday, and there will be a PowerPoint. Yeah. And there's VIP tickets, which is a three-course meal, and it'll be $40, and you can buy your tickets up in the at the back. If not, we also have other food tickets. We have a bento box for $10, which you can buy, and also other food tickets, depending, I don't know how many tickets you'll need, but two tickets are $5, and I think last time they said if you bought like $20 worth, you get free two tickets. And those are like some of the foods you would be enjoying. That I think is for the VIP. But there's a lot of other foods that are on your left. So go and buy tickets and support our short-term mission trips this year. And I'm just going to call Pastor Charlie for the benediction.
Thank you. Father's Day is coming up, and I'd like to encourage you to buy something for your father. especially the VIP tickets. I think surf and turf, really works. It's very exquisite food. And I think they will enjoy it very much. I'll enjoy it very much. Let's all stand and end with a benediction. May you receive the word from Thessalonians chapter 3. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you'll be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Amen. Amen. Blessings to you.